you know, one of the things that we probably see ourselves that has been effective in what we do is that we really do break down denominational barriers in any given country. That's a wonderful thing that we end up seeing happening. In fact, if a country tends to be more tribal in nature, and what I mean by that is that in Africa, it can be that way to some degree, and denominations are that way, and it's just a cultural thing. So we will even have people co-facilitating from two different denominations at one time just to make sure they're breaking down those barriers.
Welcome back to Lead Like Jesus. This is Karen Conley, and this is part two of a podcast that we are doing with Jim Montgomery. If you missed the first episode, I really want to encourage you to go find it on iTunes, listen to it. It really helps broaden our understanding of just how God is at work, not just in the United States, but all over this world. And so, Jim, thank you so much for coming back for part two.
Great to be back. Thank you, Karen.
Well, we talked about in our first podcast, you currently are serving as the Chief International Officer for Lead Like Jesus. You shared a brief amount of your testimony in our first podcast. Make sure our audience is up to speed. Tell them a little bit about your journey and how you got to this role.
Yes. As I mentioned in the first session, I grew up Islamic, and having spent most of my years in Turkey as a child, doing most of my schooling in Turkey, my mother's Turkish, my dad's an American, he was in the military, U.S. military, and they met. Well, we were my siblings and children were raised Islamic, and that's what I knew. And when I was about 24 years old, I came to an understanding of who Jesus was simply by finding a Bible and a box of books and began reading it from Genesis on. I had no intentions of becoming a Christian, but I came to an understanding of who Jesus was, and that made all the difference. Since that time, immediately after coming to an understanding who Christ was, I began in a campus ministry, working in a campus ministry at the University of Texas in Austin. Did that for almost part of that group for almost 10 years, and then found myself desiring to be in business and the corporate world and launched off into that. And then about 15 years ago, I just felt God's leading in my quiet times and the times of solitude that he was leading me back into ministry, but this time truly international ministry. But here I am living in Iowa, and what you have in Iowa is corn and hogs or pigs. And my thought was, God, how in the world would you put me into an international ministry while I'm living here? But God has a way. When he calls you, he can surely do it. So, and that's led me to eventually being part of Lead Like Jesus.
We talked about many of the countries that Lead Like Jesus has had the privilege of going into and sharing the leadership encounter and helping nationals from all over the world see leadership from a different perspective. Some of the newest initiatives are going into primarily Islamic or non-Christian countries. And that makes me think both on a personal level for you, and then now that you are ministering in those areas, as a 24-year-old, were there ramifications as you made a choice for Christ?
The ramifications was really, you know, what is my parents going to say? What is my mother going to say? And there's always the fear of being disowned, that kind of a thing. I think she even thought that it would be some kind of a fad. I knew what I believed, and there was no going back. But I think the ramifications for many who do come to an understanding of who Jesus is out of Islam, there is that, whether being disowned or persecution or even honor killings and things like that can happen. So it's pretty dramatic depending on where you come from. It wasn't quite that way for me.
What does that look like as Lead Like Jesus is entering into non-Christian countries where it's not just multiple religions, but it's sometimes a religion that is very much disdained? What does that look like as you go in with Lead Like Jesus?
Again, it's really less me and more of what the field and the people that we train know how to do and the people that they know. They've been doing this for probably years. They've been working with, of course, the dynamics of their own culture, whether it may be predominantly Islamic or even if it's Christian, then, you know, different regions where churches are being planted that are predominantly Muslim or Islamic. And they know what to do. They've been doing it for quite some time. So our going into these places is really just to strengthen them, empower them, equip them and train them and any way we possibly can, and taking the Lead Like Jesus message to them and have them really excel in that. And so when they go into a village and they're planting a church, or a church planter is going into a place where there is no church and they're planting a church, they really are there to serve that community. And so this is, it fits so well into the understanding of what Lead Like Jesus is all about, because it's about serving and them learning to serve as leaders. And so when they go in there to serve the village and serve the community, it opens the door for the gospel. And that's what we're seeing. One individual that we were training in, these are all church planters in Ghana, and he had really given up in the area that he had been working in for 11 years with his family. It was in northern Ghana and predominantly a Muslim area. It was just hard. And I could see it on his face. But after he had gone through the encounter, the training, he came up to me and says, "Jim, I don't know what to say, but I have a new vision, a new understanding of what can be done and how to go in and affect and deeply impact the people of where I've been. And now I know what to do. I really have a clear understanding of how to approach this. And it's all because of what you guys have been teaching us. And I just didn't know this, but to lead like this can make a tremendous difference." And so that's some of the, you know, testimonies that we're hearing when they go into a place that they've never been before. And this is one of the reasons why when we do church planter training, we really try to initiate the church planters to go through the encounter initially at the very beginning of their training. This way, when they go into evangelism and then discipleship and then the small group development, they've already understand how to really lead, how to serve them, and how to empower their leaders or the people that they're developing. So,
I love what I'm hearing. So many times in the ministry nonprofit world, we can be guilty of reinventing the wheel. And there are duplicate efforts over and over again. But what I hear and what I love about Lead Like Jesus is it really is you going in, like you said, serving like Jesus, being a resource to them. So now you have people who have a love for their country and a love for their people, and you're equipping them to be more effective. Are there any other stories that you just cling to when you've had a hard day? And what are the things that you go back to or make you know that, man, this is worth it and we are making a difference?
You know, it's easy for me, Karen, to go in and I'll go into a country and I'll do a training sometimes. I generally try to do co-facilitation because I really want people not to see me, but they see the leader, the national leader that's there and representing Lead Like Jesus, that they can see themselves through them. Every country I go into and if I'm facilitating an encounter of some kind, it's easy for me since I've been doing it so long, and it can be, I don't want to say old, but it may not be as fresh for me, you know, but I always have to really adjust my heart and remember that why I'm there. And that's a big difference. So when we end up finishing, I'm always blown away by the impact it has on individuals. And we're talking transformation, literally transforming their lives and the way they think. But also, I mean, these people will be in tears because of what they've gone through. When they go through some of the exercises that we do, when they begin to understand whose they are and who they are, it's deeply transformational. And then they leave leading out of that out of that understanding, which is very powerful. Identity is everything. So that's part of what I understand that is truly impacting these people, especially when you think of a church planter. Some of these church planters are indigenous church planters, and the idea of a church planter being able to look you in the eye, or someone from the indigenous group or rural group looking you directly in the eye with confidence, is not a common thing. And this is what we're seeing happening, and where they're able to directly look in you and speak with you as anyone else, because they see you the way Jesus sees you, and they understand how Jesus sees them. Very, very powerful. One example I can give, a testimony I can give, is a man named Otis. He was a businessman in South Africa, had gone through the encounter, and he was in a pretty much a spiritual desert for about 10 years. What had happened about 10 years ago is that his brother had been stabbed to death and showed up on his front porch bleeding. This was his brother, dear brother, that he grew up with. They loved, they did everything together. Anytime you saw Otis, you saw him and his brother with him. But this time he had gone out, his brother had gone out, and came back around 4 a.m. in the morning and was stabbed and bleeding and died right at the, took his last breath there in his arms. And one of the things that had happened for Otis is that he couldn't understand why God, a loving God, would allow this to happen. After going through the encounter and of course, the spiritual desert that he was in for so long, he really understood God's forgiveness, was gripped deeply about how much God loves him, but also even his brother's killer. It happened that he ended up going to his hometown back again, visiting his hometown in Durban. And sure enough, as he was driving, and this was just like 2 weeks later, he was driving and saw his brother's killer walking on the sidewalk. And he just felt the Lord leading him to stop the car, gets out, and walks over to him. And his brother's killer, of course, is thinking he needs to protect himself. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, from Otis, is saying, listen, I come in peace. I'm not here to harm you. And the killer, his brother's killer, just stood still and looked at him. And he said, and Otis says, I came here to forgive you, to know that I have forgiven you for what you've done, for killing my brother. And he said, and the killer said, Otis, for every waking day, I have seen nothing but your brother's face. And then Otis did the next thing, and he didn't know how he did it, but he did it, and that was embrace them and hug them and prayed for them. And so we're seeing things like this take place. We're not just going there and doing a training. We're literally seeing something transformational take place in each of the hearts of these people that are being exposed to lead like Jesus and lead them like Jesus. And it's all God. It's really, the encounter is an encounter with God and with Jesus and understanding who they are and whose they are, and at the same time realizing how powerful of a leader Jesus was.
Jim, as I listen to you tell that story, it makes me think two things. One, as much as there are different cultures, that we should all remember that pain, the wounds that we carry, are so similar, that issues of identity that you mentioned, of forgiveness or unforgiveness, those are pains that cross all cultures. But at the same time, while we all have those things in common, the hope that you can give people that don't have access to all the many resources and the many opportunities that we have to see how many Bible studies and how many things do we have at our fingertips and leadership principles and those types of things, that you can be used by the Lord to come alongside people that need the very same thing that you have, that helps you get through your day and to remember what's important and to be able to lead like Jesus does. It's an exciting thing to think about. Talk to me about the long-term plans. As the chief international officer, I'm sure you guys have 3, 5, 10-year plans. What are the hopes and prayers for Lead Like Jesus internationally in the future?
You know, our greatest hopes is that we are, for every country that we're in, we want to make sure that we're not just having national representation without going deeper into the country. And each country is different. We have to recognize that. So the translation needs are always there. Seeing more church planters being trained is also a focus for us. At the same time, we want to be able to make sure that we are training those and empowering those and equipping those to touch on the variety of different demographics that we're exposing Lead Like Jesus to, whether it be in the universities, into the local governments, into the marketplace. And we're even beginning to see that in places like Vietnam and the Philippines and even Nigeria, for goodness sake. We're seeing so much take place there among business leaders, the local governments. That we've even had government officials come through there. We've had chiefs of villages come in and wash the feet of a subordinate, which is unheard of. That actually happened in Ghana. It was one of those, everyone had stopped and looked, and as this person is washing the feet of a subordinate, everyone had stopped and looked to see what was going on. I didn't quite recognize it at the time, but the national representative came up to me and goes, this man is a chief of multiple villages, and this is unheard of in Ghana. So we want to see more of that taking place. We want to go deeper into the culture. We want to see cultural change. We want to see change has taken place even in the schools. And that's something I have not talked about, is that we're in the public schools in some countries where we're actually training youth. This is the next generation of leadership, talking about seeing cultural change and seeing change of leadership as we begin impacting more and more students to lead like Jesus and to impact their friends. We can see entire school systems change, as we've seen in India and other places, where we take the teachers through the actual encounter and then the lead like Jesus encounter, and then we end up exposing the students through what we call Ignite, which is a very interactive, video-driven training exercise that we take them through for about 6 hours, and high level of discussion, and they come away with a different mindset of what leadership is all about and how they can have an impact. So we hope to see about 30,000 students trained, 25,000 nationals trained to lead like Jesus. We want to see that grow and expand, and we'll have about 500 church planters trained this year. That we'll be sponsoring 200 of them personally ourselves.
That's terrific. You had mentioned earlier in the church planning world that it's a 12-month process. Once they have finished that 12-month training with you, is there follow-up in place? Is there a way that you stay connected to those church planners, or does that release them to go and reproduce themselves and reteach that to others?
Through that process of 12 months, they are literally planting a church. We are shadowing them the whole time, and we have the opportunity of seeing what has taken place. We anticipate, even from this year, we'll see somewhere close to 12,000 people come to Christ. 24,000 or so will be evangelistic contacts, where they end up coming to an understanding of who Jesus is to some level. They'll be exposed to that. So we anticipate a great level of sowing and reaping just through the church planter. So we will be following them all the way through. We anticipate that probably at maybe 95% of them will plant a church within that 12 months. And then afterwards, it's a wonderful thing to watch and see the level of impact as they begin not only impacting that community, but also expanding outside of that community.
As my husband and I planted a church, my heart definitely leaps at that, to think about the amount of support that they would receive and what that must mean, that they're trying to be obedient to the Lord, and to have someone come alongside them during that process is a win for the whole community. Jim, what differentiates Lead Like Jesus from other mission-minded organizations? Tell me from your perspective, what do you think the differential is?
You know, I think one of the things that we do is that we really do come alongside the ministry. We come alongside, we feel like we come alongside people, our ministries, whether it be a university, or it doesn't matter what group they're part of, different denominations, different churches. One of the things that we probably see ourselves that has been effective in what we do is that we really do break down denominational barriers in any given country. That's a wonderful thing that we end up seeing happening. In fact, if a country tends to be more tribal in nature, and what I mean by that is that in Africa it can be that way to some degree, and denominations are that way, and it's just a cultural thing. So we will even have people co-facilitating from two different denominations at one time, just to make sure they're breaking down those barriers. But one of the things I see that is probably different, it's hard to compare, I just know that we're not like any other leadership training. We're really focused on seeing transformation take place, and we really want to see cultural change. We believe that people will come into an understanding of who Jesus is when they come into contact with someone leading like Jesus, and that just has a tremendous impact when you're modeling who Jesus is, again, because of whose you are and who you are, and understanding that and walking out of that in confidence, knowing that you can have influence, even if you're a secretary, a woman secretary in a male-dominated society, you can have influence. And that's a big difference.
And the power of it being so personal, that it's not just leadership principles, but something that is impacting each person that's experiencing any of the curriculum or any of the encounters that you're having. like you said, it's such a partnership with other ministries that you're able to come alongside. But I love hearing, and for our listeners, you know, this is an opportunity that impacts business, it impacts education, government, church. That's really a holistic approach to a community that is unique to many ministries. So, Jim, as we wrap up this second podcast, my hope and prayer is that this has really pricked somebody's heart that would want to be involved, would want to know more, would want to know that they could be used in some way to be a part of this. What would you say to that person out there that maybe thinks, gosh, I want to know that I'm making a difference with my life? How can they be involved?
Many ways. Of course, praying for us is one way. I can point towards the financial giving as well, and especially the translations that we need to have happen or take place. But also, if you're in a foreign country, we have national representation in your country or wherever you may be, please tap into it. Experience the encounter and then see where God leads you from that point on. But also, it's a desire to have a greater impact. We have resources they can be exposed to from reading Lead Like Jesus Revisited and the book itself, a study guide we have that goes along with it. These are different things that you can do to be exposed to our ministry and what we do to some degree. But the encounter is a great first step. We'd love to hear from you too as well.
Well, the beauty of technology, this podcast is listened to all over the world. Jim, am I correct? If there is someone in a different country right now outside of the U.S. and they wanted to find out where Lead Like Jesus will be having encounters, could they email global@leadlikejesus.com? Is that a good step for them?
That's a great step for them.
So if you're there, you're in a different country, you want to have some firsthand experience, please email global@leadlikejesus.com. For more information on any of the resources available at Lead Like Jesus, go to leadlikejesus.com. You can find the Leadership Encounter, Ignite, Lead Like Jesus Revisited, and a ton of resources so that you can know what God is doing and how you might be able to be a part. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Karen.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a great day, and check out leadlikejesus.com.